Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, Sabrina Carpenter. Happy New Year.
Is she going to be performing tonight?
She should. She should.
Well, I mean, you seem to have every... Like, I watch, you know, I flip channels and stuff, but I spend a lot of time on that. You know, the Ryan Seacrest, Nick Clark, Rock and E. They have any artist you can think of who's, like, living, they have performing at that show. Like, they had New Edition reunited last year.
Can they get Sabrina Carpenter and Tate McRae out there? Then I'm good to go anyways.
Oh, yeah, that's not a bad little 1-2 combo. 305-567-0560, the number to call and text in. A couple of years back, I DJ'd one of the side rooms at the Fountain Blue, and Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton were hosting their New Year's party.
I am down for that type of party right now.
All I wanted was in the back hallways of Fountain Blue was just to pass Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton and just see them in person, and I didn't. So it was a fun night, though.
Now who would you, if you could have one night with either of them, who you taking, Dolly Parton or Miley Cyrus?
Oh, that's 305-567. We'll put that on a poll right now. You're tearing me apart,
man. I love them both. I mean, I'm a lifelong lover of Dolly Parton since I've been like 5 years old, but I mean, Miley Cyrus is an all-time bad one.
She's been your hot mess of the week. How many weeks?
She's been a lot hot messier, but she's gotten it together a little bit more. But
she has, yeah, I've noticed that.
Who's in the top 10 of your hot messes a year, anyways, Jane? It is year in the review, anyways.
A year in review, hot messes. Cool. I mean, they've had a lot of people that have been out of control and been wild and crazy, but. I don't know. I don't know who my hot mess of the year.
Can we get that in the 8 o'clock hour or the 9 o'clock
hour? We'll try to get to it. We'll get a little day spa later on, because I know Donna loves the day spa. But Donna, what are you doing? What are you doing for New Year's though?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm very, very boring because we got this six-year-old son. So we're staying at my parents' house. So we're going to let my six-year-old stay up till like 12:01 a.m., get him like hopped up on chocolate at like 9 p.m., try to time it out so he crashes at 12:01 in the morning. We're just going to watch the ball drop. And I'll probably be asleep by about 12:05 a.m.
That doesn't sound terrible. Honestly, even at my age and all the craziness I've done on New Year's, like I said, at the Fountain Blue DJing, seeing the ball drop on TV, there's just something special about it.
There is. Sure. It, you know, to me, I mean, I'm not that sentimental. Like, to me, it's like 12:00 midnight. It's like it's another day. Like, I know. New year. You always hear these people with these takes of, 2024 was so terrible, but 25 is going to be my year. I always look back on, Dan, I remember, I guess like in 2019, I guess like a lot of celebrities died and people were very depressed about it. So I can remember watching New Year's Rockin' Eve, you know, heading into 2020, and everyone was holding these signs like 2020 is going to be the best year ever. And then you know, a couple
that went
months
terribly,
later,
terribly, terribly wrong.
It was like the worst year since like World Wars, you know, 2020.
Right.
So,
it all started with Kobe Bryant dying. That's when it all started.
That's right. Me. That's right. I mean, listen to me. I try to make every day great. I'm an optimistic guy, but I'm not sentimental. You know, tomorrow's just another day. I'm going to try to maximize that.
But there's
that,
college like, football playoffs on, so we're good with that. Am I right, Dono?
That's true. Oh, you know, that's true. We are. My son has gotten really, really into football. And I'm trying to break this annoying habit because, you know, obviously, like, he likes the Hurricanes and the Dolphins. But every time there's just a random other game on that involves, you know, because like me, I only have allegiances to my home teams. Like I don't root for other teams. I'm not that guy. So every time there's a game on, my son is like, "Dad, who are we cheering for?" I'm like, "I'm just watching the football. I'm not cheering for anybody."
No.
So like,
here's what you change. We're rooting for points. You say that we're rooting for points.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But he always wants to root for a team, and he's got this annoying habit. Like he's a front runner. So like the 49ers, you know, they're winning last night, and my son is like, "We're rooting for San Francisco." I'm like, I don't know. Detroit's the better team. And then he's all pissed when Detroit wins the game because he's rooting for the 49ers. So we'll be watching.
He sounds like a guy who just like a Northeast kid. Like I hate all the New York teams. Let me root for a new team at least.
He roots for whoever wins is what he does.
Hey, don't let him be a Yankee fan. That's my runner.
You'll never
advice.
Be let down if you root for whoever wins.
Right, exactly.
305-567-0560. Got some texts coming in right now. Got a 561 saying, "Happy New Year's Eve, gents, my boys, Dan Day, All Day, Alex Dono, Trevor from Clint Beasy." Much appreciated. Other texts coming in right now. Thank you guys for being live on this New Year's Eve. We appreciate that.
No problem.
754 texts in, "Emory took heat, but the offense wanted to grind out the second half. How it went down was unfortunate." Yeah, we lost. Dono?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I thought they should have committed completely to running the football. Like when they were down in the red zone near the goal line, when they and people didn't like Mario's decision to kick the field goal. I thought even throwing the football, the downs that led up to kicking the field goal, they probably should have just tried to pound it in, because I can, you know, I can understand the logic of kicking a field goal there, but that would assume you have a defense who can stop somebody, which Miami doesn't. But you know, the field goal put them up six, meaning even if you give up a touchdown, you've got an opportunity at a game-winning drive with a field goal, which they could not take advantage of with Emory Williams at quarterback. So the decision to kick the field goal, I can understand wanting to be more aggressive. I don't think, you know, anytime Mario makes a decision that doesn't work out, people are like, see how terrible of a game day coach. Like when he wasn't kicking field goals against Georgia Tech, people are like, take the points. What are you doing? When he kicks the field goal against Washington, sir, or against Iowa State, it's like, what are you doing? You go for it on fourth down. So, you know, bottom line was, if they had competent quarterback play that final drive, they would have won the football game.
And a competent defense, let's be honest here. That defense.
Oh, yeah.
I know competent quarterback's the name of the game. Competent defense, please. Hello, can we get a stop here? Gets Rocco back, please.
Well, it's also...
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, when they went up 6 points, you knew, like, Iowa State's going to score here. The question was, like, how quickly will they score, and can our offense answer? Like, you knew the defense was going to give up a touchdown there.
Exactly right.
About it.
It's also bowl games. I mean, bowl games, a lot of the normal play calling and things are out the window. You see some of these shootouts sometimes. I don't know. Mario Cristobal, I think he gets a bad rap, and he's made some glaring mistakes, but they talk about, oh, great recruiter, horrible game day coach. I don't know if he's as horrible as people make him out to be as a game day coach.
Well, I love how, like, if we let a few of these folks on social media, if we let them coach the Canes, they would all be undefeated, apparently, because they know
they would exactly, all be Larry Coker.
they know exactly which plays should be called and when the timeout should be called. So it's that easy, folks. We all know better than Mario does.
With that being said, I would have kicked the field goal too if I was going up by six. If I was Mario Cristobal, it's just the logical thing to do. And you know, you got to trust in your defense, and even though it's not very good, and you got to trust that you can go back and get a touchdown or another score or a field goal or something, and you didn't get it, and you lose the Pop Darts Bowl, which sucks. And it's just, it's not just the Pop Darts Bowl, it's the accumulation, like you said, Donald, 1-12 in the past 15 years, and all
this. And honestly, like, I don't even care about the last 15 years. What I care about is you started the season 9-0 with everything in front of you. You're 9-0, you're on track. to win the ACC. You're on track to qualify for the college football playoff. And then even after you lost your first game, you still controlled your own destiny. Then you lost again. Like, that's what bugs me. It's like 15 years to me, the past is the past. Like, I don't care about the bowl games that Randy Shannon and Larry Coker lost. Like, that's meaningless to me right now. What I do care about is this team loses three out of their final four games and ends the season on a sour note. That's what I care about.
561 Texan, New England is not drafting a quarterback with Drake May. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, fair.
There was a time they said Arizona wouldn't draft Kyler Murray because they had Josh Rosen.
That is true. That is true.
So keep that in mind, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Go back to New England. Go back to Boston, please.
Another thing people are saying, I hope Tyrod Taylor doesn't start for the Jets because he's been a Dolphin killer his entire career. Yeah.
Good point.
I hope Aaron Rodgers starts, to be honest with you. Even though he had a good game against the Dolphins down here in Miami, still, I would much rather have Aaron Rodgers start than Tyrod Taylor.
I feel like our hearts are gonna get broken in some way. No. Like either, if the Dolphins win, the Broncos are gonna win, or if the Dolphins, if the Broncos lose, the Dolphins will lose. Like we're gonna get rug pulled in some way, shape, or form this weekend.
And I have one from the 754 says, all day meet at Titanic for a beer before tomorrow's UM basketball game. Now, first of all, Dono, you know I love Titanic Brewery over there by the U, but I'm going to the Pelicans Heat game, so I'm not gonna be at the Miami Boston College. Yeah, it's Boston College. I thought for some reason they were playing at Boston College, but I guess it is at – either way, just go to Titanic. You'll be fine. Who knows? I have so much trouble going to Titanic. Like, then I'm going to go to the baseball game, and I get there like 4 hours early, and I still walk into the baseball game in like the second inning because I'm carried away at Titanic sometimes.
It's at Boston College anyway.
It is at Boston College. I guess he just wanted to meet for beers at Titanic anyway, which is like you said, it's never a bad spot to go.
Hey, it's a nooner. It's New Year's Day. There's gonna be college football on all day. Let's go.
That's a great place. You sit at the bar and you start ordering those beers at Titanic. Man, it's absolutely wonderful, man.
I gotta check it out whenever I'm back in Coral Gables for a time.
You should. It's a good spot.
Oh yeah. And of course, Dono, you're always around the U. Are you in Coral Gables right now, Dono?
I mean, by my background, it looks like I am. I'm in Palmetto Bay, Florida, about 8 miles south of campus.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sweet. Sweet.
There we go.
It is New Year's Eve. We do have some New Year's Eve of football. The college football playoff continues tonight. Boise State, Penn State. I'll tell you, man, Boise State is a lot better than a lot of people. Well, they are a third seed, but don't give them the credit they deserve. Ashton Jeanty is Superman. This team has been great. Their only loss this year, correct me if I'm wrong, was to Oregon, who is undefeated.
Correct.
And they lost by three.
Yeah, they played them very, very well. No question. And Jeanty is a superstar. I will be rooting for Boise State for what that's worth. Let me see what the line is.
I want to say Penn State's favored by 11.
So it's also the winner goes to the Orange Bowl, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It all depends. Who do we want to see down? Do we want all the Penn State honks and stuff, or do we want to see the Boise State people come down here?
Well, Kevin Franklin's good at winning every game supposed to. James Franklin, I'm sorry, and losing every game that he's supposed to. So if it's rock chalk, Penn State's supposed to win this game. I don't know. I just feel Boise State is a lot better than people are giving them credit for a lot of reasons. They're, a mid-major. They're also a team that kind of plays out in the West Coast, so you don't get to see them as much. They've got Ashton Jeanty, who is fantastic. Penn State's a good team. And like I said, if you go by history, Kevin Franklin, he always wins the game he's supposed to win. James Franklin always.
You know what? Kevin would probably win this game. I'm not sure about James.
Just get Keegan Michael Peel out there. He can coach him to a win anyways. Teams.
I'm going to go with Boise State.
I'm going with Penn State.
I'm going to go with Penn State. I think it's going to be closer than the 11.5-point spread, which is like kind of disrespectful for a playoff spread. I mean, they had a huge spread also against SMU, and they covered. SMU played awful in that game, but that game was in Happy Valley though.
Yes.
They had the home field advantage. This one's at a neutral.
I was
site.
In Dallas for the weekend, and all the SMU fans I know is like they were miserable. That's why they are hoods up, jeans. I'm done. I'm going back to my place anyways. I
mean, Kevin Jennings is still throwing interceptions. I mean that was a sad display. The game was over. He threw two pick sixes to start the game. It's like the game was over before it started.
I was gonna say, Miami would have done a better job in that game, but then again, I can't say too much because we did lose the Pop-Tarts Bowl to Iowa State, so I'm just going to say next year we'll get them. We got them next year.
We do play at SMU next year, so let's get that is the rematch of the ACC Bowl that never happened.
We'll get them. We'll get them.
Yeah, and we better because they got all those former Canes on that roster, and Miami's former offensive coordinator. Like the same way we had to beat Manny Diaz this year, that was a must win, and Miami got it done. We've got to beat SMU next year.
Got to beat SMU. We're going to talk some NFL and Dolphins playoffs next here on the Joe Rose Show 560 WQAM.
Y'all ready for this?
These NFL playoffs, interesting. We know the Dolphins, if they can win against the Jets this coming Sunday at 4 o'clock, then they have to just hope the Broncos lose to the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs are 15-1, have absolutely nothing to play for. If you have a hangnail, if you have a stomach ache, or if you're just kind of tired, the Chiefs are going to hold you out of the game or not play you very much. Nonetheless, that would be miraculous if the Dolphins can get to that win, and then crazy things happen sometimes. You know, maybe the Chiefs guys, their practice squad is trying to show out, put some tape down. They play out. Broncos kind of overlook it, even though they have everything on the line and they're at home. Nonetheless, crazier things have happened. But I just want to look at the playoff picture, Dono and Trevor, and kind of see how everything is. I do believe the Dolphins can slide in, and if they slide in, a lot of pressure goes to the Bills, and I know the Bills own us, and it's going to be cold, and we're going to be playing there, and you don't even know if Tua's starting. But nonetheless, get into the playoffs. That's all you can ask for is a chance. But these two playoff conferences are very, very interesting. Of course, you've got the two behemoths. Well, really, you got three behemoths in the NFC. You look no further than the NFC North, the Lions and the Vikings. Watching the Lions last night, Dono, I watch them, and they're kind of like what the Panthers for the hockey team, Florida Panthers, were last year. How do you want us to beat you? We'll go to your place.
Right.
You can come to our place. You want us to be fancy. You want us to drag it out. You want us to run trick plays. We got injuries. No problem. We'll beat you. It just seems like the Lions can do whatever they want, whenever they want. So they're a team that you have to believe in. The Vikings are a great team, but once again, they have a history of being really good, but when it counts, being not so good.
You know, the Lions are a team that I would root for to win the Super Bowl because it's an underdog organization, and I don't really have any reason to hate them. And I'm a Dan Campbell fan. You know, I thought he was very interesting to cover when he was briefly the interim coach down here in Miami. Yeah, I have my doubts about them actually finishing the job. Like, I was really disappointed a few weeks ago when they lost at home to Buffalo. I thought that was such a big opportunity at a statement win, although they've had statement wins at other parts of the season, no doubt. But, man, I know we're talking NFC, but let me bring it back to the AFC for a moment, because don't we all feel like this is going to end at another Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl? That just seems to be the team of destiny. They had a slow start to the year, as they often do. They're going to turn it on in the postseason.
You never
bet against Pat Mahomes.
A team that's 15-1, how did they have a slow start, Dono?
Because Pat Mahomes didn't really look like himself early on. Ooh. You know, so I would say that even at 15-1, their crescendo has been since October up.
Yeah, and I think Trevor, your team, the Philadelphia Eagles, are the best team in the NFC, and then everybody else is just kind of piddling around. You got to believe that the Chiefs, though. Yeah, Dono, if you're a betting man, the Chiefs, they're going to find a way. It might not be pretty, but they're going to find ways to win games in these playoffs and get back to the Super Bowl.
Is it bad that I'm also kind of rooting for the Eagles? Like, just get to the NFC title game. If you lose to the Lions, that's fine, because I just don't want them to lose to the Chiefs again. I'm at that point right now.
Nah, Eagles do have a good run.
I've seen this with the Eagles when they lose to the Patriots, and they beat the Patriots. It's like, am I going to destiny again, honestly? That's how I'm viewing this right now.
Donald, do you feel as though the Bills have enough this year to finally beat the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? Because we all know that Josh Allen can handle Patrick Mahomes in the regular season, 4-1. We all know he can't handle Patrick Mahomes in the postseason, 0-4.
It's the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady thing. Someone he's got to win sometime. Am I right? Or is it going to be Philip Rivers?
I think it's gonna be, and they're on a collision course. They're naturally going to meet, and I think he's going to start 0-5.
You really think?
I really think. I don't know if he's ever going to get over that hump. I mean, he's had Allen has had his best regular season. You know, he's gotten better despite things changing around him, which you could say the same thing for Mahomes, because when he lost Tyreek Hill a few years ago, some people thought, well, there it is. He's not going to be the same guy. He only got better. So, you know, I think I would take Mahomes again, 5-0 this year.
Do you think the Ravens are even on the level of the Chiefs or the Bills?
No. I don't trust – here's my thing with the Ravens. I don't trust their defense at all, because I just feel like they've gotten lit up this year. It's not very Baltimore Ravens-ish as well.
They only gave up 2 points the last game they played.
It's also the Houston Texans. It's the anatomy.
9-7.
Yeah. It's like –
they're going to the playoffs. They're a playoff team.
It's also the AFC South. It's a suckbag division.
It's a bad division, but
it's a suckbag. It's not a bad – it's a suckbag division.
It's a bad division. You go ahead and play these teams and see how you do against them, Trevor. No, I'm going to...
Oh, really? I'll do that. Go look at the AFC North. The Eagles took everybody out in the AFC North this year.
I'm not talking about your team. You, personally.
Oh, I'm down to take a concussion anyways. Put me on CTE anyways.
I want to put the hot take...
You already have CTE.
Do I? Should I donate my brain to Boston College or Harvard anyways? I'm down to do that right now.
I want to take the hot take artist out of this one real quick. Everybody's saying watch out for the Bengals. First of all, the Bengals need to win, and then they need the Broncos to lose and the Dolphins to lose to get in. But everybody's saying, look out if they get in. And you know, I love Joe Burrow, LSU guy. I like what he does. Ja'Marr Chase, LSU guy. And I do believe the only person that Patrick Mahomes even worries about and checks scores on is the Bengals and Joe Burrow, but this team just does not have it this year, especially defensively, to really make a run in this playoffs.
They need more help than the Dolphins do just to get in, like you said. I mean, we'll slow our roll on that one a little bit.
Dolphins can do it, though. I do see them beating the Jets no matter what. What happened between the Broncos and the Chiefs, I'm just going to hope for crazier things have happened. I keep saying that. The reality is probably the Broncos, with everything to play for against the Chiefs practice squad at home, should get a win. But once again, the Giants shouldn't beat the Colts, who have everything to play for. And lo and behold, the Giants handed the Colts an ass whooping.
Now, if the Dolphins get in, wouldn't you say that for this to be considered a successful season, don't they have to win a playoff game?
You're right.
Because they've set the bar, you know, during this era, the Tua Tagovailoa era, especially since Mike McDaniel has been here. This is supposed to be a team that it competes for Super Bowls, right? That was Stephen Ross's goal. That's why he hit the demolition button, you know, before the Brian Flores era started, to turn this into a Super Bowl contender. So far, all they have to show for it are a couple of first-round playoff losses. Like, I truly believe this team, and I know if you're grading on the curve, they got off to such a slow start. You can say, hey, if we made the playoffs, look at this turnaround. I still think they have to win a playoff game, because in this cycle, in this Chris Greer build, this team was supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. They've got to win a playoff game this year. I don't care if they have to go to Buffalo and win. I'm not going to call it a successful year if you don't get at least one playoff win.
Dono, you're 100% right. Just because things have changed and they've bobbed and weaved throughout the season, we cannot let this team off the hook.
No.
At the beginning of the year, Stephen Ross said on TV to Kim Bocamper, who we love, this is a Super Bowl contending team. I don't think the rest of the fan base is there yet, but I, as a fan, and I think most of the fan base, said this year to be successful, to be a successful year, this team needs to win a playoff game. And just because things have changed and Tua's going to maybe miss 6 games, maybe 7 games, you can't say, oh, but at least they made the playoffs. That's a success. No, you can't move the target. The target remains the same. You have to win a playoff game for this to be a successful season. Even if they miraculously make it into the playoffs, and even if they go to the Bills and lose by another last-second 61-yard field goal, I don't know how that happens, you can't say, oh, with everything that came and went and the injuries, it was a successful season. No, I'm not changing the goal from the beginning of the year, which is to win a playoff game.
And boy, if they can go and win in Buffalo in January, if they could pull that off, think about how many narratives that would change about this organization. How, you know, Mike McDaniel, his record is so terrible against teams that are over 500. Tua can't play in the cold. That's a narrative. I mean, my narrative is, I don't think this team from the offensive line down is built to win in the cold. I don't put that all on Tua Tagovailoa, but if they can go into Buffalo and win a playoff game in January, that to me would be one of the most powerful narrative changers in Miami Dolphins history, at least recent history, because we're long removed from winning Super Bowls, unfortunately. But that would be great if they could go in, because we always say, You better have home field advantage because you can't win in the playoffs in the cold. If they could do that this year, I would call that a success.
Now, I have one question for you, Donald, before we go to break, and you can answer it on the other side. What if the Dolphins do all that, but they do it with Tyler Huntley? We'll talk about that next on the Joe Rose Show, 560 WQAM.
I know one thing. Snoop will get more reps than Tua this week as we go through the week, and I have to be prepared for both guys to play because I don't I don't really know exactly what it's going to look like this next Sunday. So that's really the optimism. We're kind of in a gray area now because of just how his body did not cooperate with my agenda.
Mike McDaniel talking about Tyler Huntley getting more practice snaps than Tua because, honestly, Tua's in a gray area. We don't know. We know Tyler Huntley. He equipped himself very well against the Cleveland Browns, leading the team in passing yards and rushing yards. He's got some experience now. He looks like he's kind of figuring things out. Earlier in the year, we were throwing him to the wolves, man. He knew nothing.
They acquire him mid-season, and it's like, hey, all right, Snoop, go out there and start. Yeah, he's had time to acclimate to the offense, which is good. He's a serviceable, I wouldn't even call him a good NFL backup, but a serviceable NFL backup, like a good plan C.
But what if Tua's more banged up than we're believing he is? And he couldn't play in an important game against Cleveland, maybe not playing an important game against the Jets. Maybe he's more banged up than we thought. And I expect Tyler Huntley or Tua Tagovailoa to go in there and beat the Jets because the Jets are a dumpster fire. But what if Tua can't go in the playoff game, saying we make the playoffs in Buffalo, and Tyler Huntley goes in there and wins in the cold against the Bills in the playoffs? What happens all of a sudden after that, Dono? Does the world just explode here in South Florida?
Yes.
I mean, I would, if that were to happen, I would spend the entire next week listening to Buffalo sports radio because I would love to hear the meltdowns. I would love to hear the meltdowns if Tyler Huntley went into Buffalo and beat the Bills on the road in a playoff game. And listen, I wouldn't count on that happening for a number of reasons. Like I've got to feel like if the Dolphins made the playoffs, Tua would play even if he's not 100%. But I guess there's no guarantee he would get medical clearance because it sounds like he didn't get medical clearance this past Sunday. He may not get it the following Sunday, but I feel like in the playoffs you find a way to go, or at least you should. When you've just signed a $212 million contract extension, you find a way to go in the postseason. But listen, Dan, to your point, I mean, a couple years ago, Skylar Thompson came close. They went into Buffalo, and they nearly won a playoff game in Buffalo a couple years ago on the road. So strange things have happened in this league, but I would not bank on that. That would go down. If Tyler Huntley went into Buffalo and won a playoff game, that would go down as one of the biggest meltdowns by a favorite in NFL history. And I will be all, I don't know what the sports radio stations are in Buffalo, but I will find them and I will listen to them.
Dono, just fire up the Odyssey app. We have an affiliate, by the way. So
there you go. I'll be on the Odyssey app listening to Buffalo.
I've done it a few times. It's actually pretty entertaining.
But you'll have to dual listen because not only will Buffalo be talking about their meltdown, here in South Florida, the argument will be now, is it Tua Tagovailoa, the $50 million plus man, or is it Tyler Huntley?
No.
Here's
the thing. Here's the thing. No one in their right mind would try to anoint Tyler Huntley as the future, but we would have to have a lot of conversations about the Tua Tagovailoa experience. In fact, during the break, Dan and Trevor, I found this story. It's really a poll on MiamiHerald.com put up by Jordan McPherson, which asks Dolphin fans, were the Dolphins correct in giving Tua a four-year, $212 million extension that kicks in next season? And, hundreds of people have voted on this thing. And I was, I know that there's Tua-non is a big thing. There are a lot of Tua supporters who think he's, better than Dan Marino and all that. I really thought that it would be slightly leaning to yes, the Dolphins made the right move giving him that extension, but 62% say no, the Dolphins were not correct in giving him the extension. Only 20% said yes, and 18% said too early to tell. So I was actually surprised at the percentage of no's, because even Dan, even I would say, and I've been a Tua skeptic, but even I would say too early to tell, because I believe in Tua when he plays. My concern for him is his availability or lack thereof. But I would say too early to tell. I would not say definitively they made an incorrect move.
I'll say this. If Tyler Huntley were to go on this run and win a playoff game, Tua would be the most snake-bitten guy that I've known. He breaks his hip in a meaningless game against Mississippi State, kind of has to miss a lot of his rookie year. Brian Flores obviously didn't like him. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's subbing in and out and in and out. You finally get the go-ahead. You get Mike McDaniel. You get the starting job. You have the concussion issue. You finally have a season where you're completely healthy. You come back. You have the concussion issue again. Now you're having hip problems again, and your backup goes in there and wins a playoff game, which was in the cold weather against your arch nemesis that you can't seem to beat, and changes all the narratives. It'll be like, why can't I can't say why can't Tua win? He did win. He signed a big contract, but it's like, just seems like every time he takes a step forward, he takes another step back. Something happens.
Yeah, and again, it's like he's such a talented, hardworking player, and I love his attitude. I just, you know, was it Bill Parcells who said your best ability is availability? And it's a real issue. Like, it's a real issue giving a record contract, a Miami Dolphins record contract, to someone who misses this much time. I mean, 5 games missed this year. He very fortuitous timing for him to play a full season last year in time to get that big contract, and then now we're seeing that regression back towards missing time. And I hope that the hip injury that he's dealing with now, they say it's completely unrelated to what he had at Alabama. I certainly hope that's the case, because, you know, that was the sort of issue and the surgery he had that you think about long-term health with that. So I certainly hope this one is unrelated to that.
Yeah, it's just very frustrating that you figure you got your guy. And look, when he plays, I believe he's worth every penny that we paid him. We've seen, Tyler Huntley had a pretty good game against Cleveland, but we saw those earlier games in the season. We really just looked terrible. When he plays, he's great. But yeah, the availability and the health becomes an issue in saying that, yeah, you could pay a guy a ton of money, and if you can only play 3 games a year, but those 3 games a year are fantastic. It's like, well, he's not there most of the time. So,
I mean, how many consecutive games did you say Josh Allen has played in?
I think it's 104 now at this point. It's going to be his 104th. And Dan Campbell played a lot of his starters last night, saying that it was the right thing to do because he wanted his guys to play, and also he didn't want to put some of his backups in a tough position. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll tell you this, like, Andy Reid would have probably played Patrick Mahomes and those guys the first quarter if they didn't have a bye week, because he's all about playing at least a little bit in the preseason. He plays them all.
Yeah.
He does all that. But since there's already an off week, there's already going to be some rust. So he just, you know, it's probably the smart thing to do. But yeah, some of these guys play. But this is the thing about Tua. He missed early in the season, but now he's missing again at the end of the season when we need him.
Yeah. Two different spots. It's tough. It's tough. And, you know, he's had a couple different, you know, long-term issues, including the concussions. I mean, you hold your breath and you hope there's never another concussion for him. And hopefully he's put that behind him. But we thought that was the case 2 years ago. So, you know, I'm skeptical about the long-term investment. I am. And, you know, if the Dolphins do make it to the playoffs, he better play. Because I don't even want to have this discussion about Tyler Huntley starting a playoff game. We need the guy who's making $50 million plus per season. That's the guy who needs to play when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's hard enough to win with a backup quarterback against any team, much less a playoff team, much less a team in the playoffs that has your number. And, oh yeah, by the way, they're 8-0 at home this season. They've beaten some pretty good teams. Yeah.
Yeah, they have.
In the cold weather with a team that's not totally built for the cold weather against the number 2 seed. God, yeah, just Tua, get out there. And, you know, I have every reason to believe they'll beat the Jets. And, like I said, let the chips fall where they may. You get into the playoffs, anything can happen once again. Go up to Buffalo. Who knows? Who knows? But Tua doesn't play. It's just got to be, what in the world is going on? This hip has me scared because, you know, they say it's not the same part of the hip, although it's the same hip. It's like, That's, I mean, is that coincidence? Not coincidence? I don't know. But Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, he had a good game the other day. So,
he did. Yeah, I was happy to see that.
You got
to
give him credit. You know, he's one of those guys. He wants to prove that he's worth every penny that we've paid him. Jalen Waddle could be returning. We'll see how he does. Whew, but Tua missing not just games, but missing important games in his career is the issue that we have. And I think, like I said, I think he's worth every penny that we paid. And Tua's going to be Tua. I've given up on this. He needs to learn how to slide, and he needs to get out of the way. He's proven he's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to try to tackle guys when he throws interceptions. He's going to try to dive headfirst for first downs, even though they're not the most meaningful first downs. You're just going to have to live with that. But also, you got to live with every time he takes off that he could be out for a while.
Yeah, that's rough. Well, I see some of the texts coming in on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Let me see. If the Dolphins make the playoffs and beat Buffalo at their house, how much of the team players like Calais Campbell, Jordan Brooks, Tyler Huntley, et cetera, does McDaniel and Greer bring back for the 2025 season? That's an interesting one. How many times does Tua have to say he wants to play and Mike McDaniel says no? I saw something else about, okay, please read this comment. Someone says, please read and comment. Tua's game plan has been a diet of short passes. Snoop threw the ball much more downfield. Why is that? Is it because Tua is afraid to get hit? It seems like Tua has thrown it down the field plenty in his career. I don't know. I guess I'd have to go back and study the differences in the play style, because it's not as if Tua hasn't thrown it downfield, especially since Tyreek has been here.
Yeah, I think they're saying more this year has been a little more dink and dunk for Tua Tagovailoa, and that is true. That is accurate. But I don't see how Tyler Huntley, he beat a very bad Cleveland Browns team that organizationally is trying to tank. The players aren't trying to tank.
Yeah.
No players. But, I mean, you're putting Dorian Thompson-Robinson in there, who was okay at UCLA, who's okay as a backup quarterback. A team that, you know, has nothing really to prove, nothing really to want to win. Same thing against the Jets. But, yeah, the Bills are definitely step up in competition. I don't think Tua's scared to get hit. Dono, he doesn't look scared in the pocket at all.
Not probably not scared enough to get hit based on the way the last few years of his career has gone.
Dolphins fans like be scared.
Yeah, like you said, he puts his body on the line a lot, but it's hard. Like, it's hard to take someone who plays at that level of football and expect them to change their mentality, because if you try to make him more timid about taking hits, that can affect the entire way you approach the game, which is not ever something you want from a quarterback who needs to be attacking down the field and needs to be putting his body on the line to make plays. That's just the nature of the business. That's just part of the job.
And I think the biggest progression Tua has made this year is that he goes through his progressions now. Last year, he was called two-touch Tua. They tapped the ball twice. Yep. He had no idea what was going on. This year, he's going through receivers. He's staying in the pocket longer. He's moving around in the pocket. So that just, to me, proves he's not scared to get hit, because he's actually holding onto the ball much longer this year and seeing much more of the field. And I think, and it's part of what the defenses are doing, but I think in the long run, that's really, you know, a really good thing for Tua and even Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, no, I think so as well. And, man, I cannot wait to learn more throughout the week, Dan, because it's only Tuesday right now. If his status is going to improve later in the week to potentially play in this Jets game, because you'd like him to be a part of this weekend, because if I'm going to trust anyone to punch Miami's ticket to the playoff potentially, I'd much rather do that with Tua under center, even if you may be able to beat the Jets regardless.
It should be an interesting game, to say the least. It's always fun when you get the rivalry going between the Dolphins and the Jets, and we'll continue with more on the Joe Rose Show after this on 560 WQAM.